Welcome to the Valley Brook Community Church podcast, and thank you for joining us online today. You're about to hear a message from our summer series, Walking with Jesus. In this series, we're going to closely examine the life and ministry of Jesus, from where he went, to how he thinks, to who he talks to. We're going to step into the shoes of his disciples and learn what they learned from closely walking beside him on his journeys, so that hopefully, when the season is over, we look that much more like him and can do the same ourselves. To watch any of our previous messages or find all listening platforms, we encourage you to visit www.valleybrook.cc/on-demand. Enjoy.
Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. We're really happy to have you guys here today. We're really honored to be able to meet together. If I haven't met you before, my name is Brian Rooney. I'm on the staff here, and it is my honor to be able to speak with you. Just for those of you who may not know how we do things here, if you're newer and you're trying to learn a little bit more about what's going on here at Valley Brook, we take some time each Sunday morning to praise our loving Father. We give him the worship, give him all the glory. And then after that, a member of either our staff or our leadership here will come together for a brief time to be able to speak a little bit about the library of Scripture and how it can impact our lives and help us grow to be more connected to God. In a way, it's our way of starting off the week on Sunday, kind of realigning our compass towards him so that no matter what we end up going through, all the troubles, difficulties of the week, we know the way to go and that we are set in that path. And so we take time to kind of talk through a lot of this stuff, and we look at a lot of, you know, scripture verses and stories, and we follow different sequences. And so we hope that you guys are able to learn from this and take something and apply it to your life in that way to grow a little bit more towards who God is. I had a professor once when I asked him, you know, I had been going to church, you know, week after week after week, and I've been learning a lot, and I didn't remember all of it. And I was always like, do I have to remember all these things? And he goes, I don't even remember all the books that I've read any more than the meals that I've eaten, but I knew that they built me and they made me and who I am today. So that's kind of what we hope for you guys as well, is that each week, that each time we come together and learn a little bit more, that you grow and it helps build you further and further into the image of Christ, as that is our goal. So if you haven't been around with us, we're going through this summer through a teaching series called Walking with Jesus. And I just realized I sat when I said that, which is very funny and ironic. But we are walking with Jesus this summer, learning to be more like him, watching what he does, where he goes, how he interacts in difficult conversations, learning how he thinks, not just what he says, but how he thinks. So that way we can learn to bear his image better, and that way we can go and live in the same way he lived. And it is my absolute honor and pleasure, and I'm really excited to be able to do this today because I get to stand here or sit here and talk to you guys this morning about when Jesus stopped. We've been walking all summer with him. We're nearing the end of this series, and he stops. He's been preaching, teaching, healing, doing amazing things, inviting himself over to people's homes for dinner, but then he stops. And kind of like a cameraman at an Olympic event where the runner stops halfway through the race, all of the accounts of Jesus hone in on what's going on in this moment because they want to see what he's doing and what's going on in this moment. And so we thought it would be a really great idea to do the same. You know, so what you notice at this time when Jesus kind of stops, and he doesn't just like stop like for a moment to have a conversation. He stops all the teaching, all the preaching, all the miracle working. He's been doing it for quite some time, and he halts all of it because he realizes the people that have been walking with him, his disciples, the people that have been learning to be a little bit more like him, he realizes they've missed the point, that they have missed the thing that made it all matter. And so Jesus stops to go, okay, you know what? Like, and this is my words, but it's kind of like, if they don't get this, they're going to miss everything that's to come. And it will not make sense, and it will not fully come to its completion unless they understand this thing. And that it won't matter. All of his plans that he has for the future, it won't matter without the point. It will be pointless without this. And so we here on the leadership thought it would be really helpful to take a moment to stop where he stopped, to focus on this thing, because we think it would be foolish of us to just keep walking. If Jesus stops and he goes, this is something we need to focus on, we think that it would be foolish of us to not stop, to just keep going by this, because if we don't stop here and look at what's going on in this moment, then everything we're going to be doing would be pointless. And if you're thinking, really, like a waste of time, pointless? And my answer is absolutely, a complete waste of time if we don't get this. So I want to invite you, and the leadership here wants to invite you, to take a moment to stop. Take a moment to be here in this moment, to not miss the thing. So take, even for a quick moment, stop thinking about what's for lunch or what's going on at the end of today or what problems or stresses are going on tomorrow and into this week. Take a moment to stop and say, let's see what this thing is. If it was important enough for Jesus to stop and not keep moving, maybe it's important for us to do the same. So I invite you to do that. So, Jesus stops. He sits down with his friends around a table, and he tells them that his ministry is coming to an end, and that he will be leaving soon. I don't know if you guys have noticed, if you guys have ever moved from one place to another, but when you say you're going to be leaving soon, people around you start to get a little bit more bold with some of the things they come up and tell you or ask you. I remember when I was down in the South, when I was in Charlotte, I had a friend of mine who, once they heard I was moving back up here to Connecticut, just trauma dumped me, like in one afternoon hangout. And I was like, what was this? And they're like, well, you're leaving. And so I feel like I can tell you this now because you're not going to do anything with it. You're not going to interact with anyone I know. I feel like I can finally trust you with this information. And people do this because if you mention that you're leaving, and they still have things to say or questions to ask, they start to get more bold about them because they realize if they don't do it now, they may not ever get a chance to do it again. And so they took a moment. His disciples, upon hearing this, went, all right, well, we got to get all of our questions out. We got to ask him some of the stuff. So there were some questions that he got asked. And so people would come up to him and they'd say, Jesus, we have no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way? Or they'd say, Lord, show us the Father, meaning God, and we will be satisfied, which is code word for show me a big miracle so that way I have it for the rest of my life and I will be good from here on out. I need to see one big blast of it and I will no longer have any doubts. Pretty bold question right before he leaves. So Jesus stops here because he realizes they don't know who he really is. They've missed it. Imagine following somebody for 3 years where your whole job every day is to watch this person, to see what they're like and learn to be more like them, and miss the point of who they are. You get glimpses here then. But he realized they missed it. And he has to remind them again before he goes. So this is where Jesus tells them the main point, the point that makes it all matter. I gotta say, I am super excited. I just want to take a pause here. I am super excited to talk about this with you guys today because this is something that just, you can see it in people when they know this. It's a absolutely potent sense of like change in someone's life. You can smell it on people when they know this and have applied this to your life. It's not hard to notice who kind of gets this. And I fail to remember it all the time. And so I'm not trying to be like, I get it since I have this, I'm perfect. I'm not. I forget it most of the time. And I move off to the other things and I miss the point. But oh my goodness, the amount of change that comes from getting this thing, it's amazing. So all attention in this moment is on Jesus. And he tells them the thing. He leans in and he says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father, meaning God. And then he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Just like the song. He tells his disciples, during all this time that they've been walking with him, learning from him, hearing him speak and seeing him interact, he's saying in this moment, you have seen God do these things. So when you've heard me speak, when you've seen what aches my heart, what I'm passionate about, the people I care about, and the things that drive me nuts, you know that that is the heart of God. And he's saying, it's me. Jesus is making the case that this is the most important thing that they can get. And he tries to help them understand. If you read in the Gospel of John, he tries to get them to understand. I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. It's like, if you don't get anything that I'm telling you, or even if you just have to get one thing, and then this is a direct quote, it says, just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of the work that you have seen me do. So, people here, all of us, when we've been walking this summer with Jesus, Jesus is making the case that when we've been walking with him, that we have been walking hand in hand with God, watching him interact with people, watching him talk to people, spend time with them. If you haven't been here, some of the things that we've looked at is we've been looking at the way that the things that he believes are the most important. We've been seeing this thing. We've been walking with him, interact with people, and he gives glimpses of his heart and the way he thinks. We've learned that he cares mostly about justice, mercy, refraining from greed. We learned that he personally cares for us, for the lost, and that he holds people in authority who feed and leech off of others responsible. And he promises that he himself will step in and lead in their stead because he cares. We have learned that God is quick to notice people's virtues, not just their faults. And that he is not swayed by our cultural opinions of who is valuable and who is not, but sees them with the value that he has given them as he created them. When we see Jesus, we see God. So when you read the scriptures and you apply these things to your life and you wonder, why are these things working out? Like, why are these such good teachings? They've done so well in some things in our culture. You can see the Christian underlining on things, and oftentimes when we apply them to our life, we see the power of them, and you wonder, why does this have so much power? And the reason is it because it comes straight from God himself. And the reason we say that this is the most important thing and that everything would be a waste of time, and the reason that Jesus is saying it would be that none of this would matter if you don't know him, is because it's him. When Jesus claims to be the way, the truth, and the life, it's not just a statement. He's claiming that the way to live is not a bunch of rules or a bunch of guidelines or routines, but a person to know. When he says that truth is not just an idea, something to grasp and argue about with other people who don't have it, he's saying that's not what truth is. And it's not that truth is personal, but it's that truth is a person to know, who sees everyone where no one is left out, where truth enters into life and knows each person. And that the life to live is not just a place to travel to or a bunch of food to eat that makes you feel good, but a person who made all of it and who knows what it's about because it was made through him. That's what Jesus is claiming. And so he's realizing that in this moment, if we don't get that it's him, that the center is him, then the rest will not matter. The life, the truth, and the way will fall short because it's not him. This is the point. If you do not get this, then it's all for nothing because it's him. If he is the point and we don't have the point, then it's pointless. But then he reminds his disciples that he's leaving. What a message to hear right after hearing that. That it's all about Jesus and it's all about him and he's the center. And then he says, bye. They were terrified to hear this. To give you a little bit of context for them and their time, the Jews at that time, God used to show that he was near them by showing his presence in the temple. And for 400 plus years, God had removed his presence from the temple. They felt lost without him. So in this moment, they finally just went, it's you, you're back. And now you're leaving again? Like, don't, please. We don't know when we're going to get you back. We just got him back. But then Jesus offers a promise. And listen, here, at this moment, every single one of us here enters into the story. Every single one of us becomes present for this conversation, and you can know with assurance that he's speaking to you as much as he is speaking to everybody in the last 2,000 years, to them directly and beyond. Because this matters to us today. For them, they had a physical Jesus, and he's saying, I'm leaving, and they go, well, then what's next? And we're living in the what's next. So this matters to us. We enter into this, and we can know with assurance that this promise is for us as well. And my goodness, do I love the Spirit of God that he happened to put a very specific verse on Will's mind this morning, because guess what I'm reading right just now in this moment? Here is the promise. He goes, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, which means one like me, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads in all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and it doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. And then he goes on further and he says, what I am telling you is that from the Father who sent me, I'm telling you these things now while I am still with you, but the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, the Holy Spirit. He will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And I give peace, and the peace that I give is a gift that the world cannot give. So do not be troubled or afraid. His promise to us is that if we know him and continue to abide with him, he will not leave us. And Jesus is saying that as he's leaving, another like him is coming. As much as he is God, the Spirit is him in us. And it grants us a promise, peace of mind and heart, in a way that the world cannot understand because they don't know him. The Spirit, God speaking through all of us, this is what makes all of it matter. This is the thing. The thing is that God is still with us if we know him. Abiding, meaning staying connected and not meaning to go off. And we're not saying go off and become like a monk and go in prayer all day. Like, that's not what we're saying. We're meaning being with him as much as he is in you. You are in him. Jesus says this, and he says, I am the vine, for you are the branches. For those who remain in me, I will remain in them, and they will produce much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. I honestly, I picture like an iPhone 13 without battery charge. It looks the right way. It looks like it can do all the stuff, but plugging it into the outlet and giving it its charge, it does what it was made to do. And it can do amazing things if it stays connected to the source. And so Jesus has offered us an invitation to accept him, to live in our hearts, for us to know him, be reminded of all the things that he has taught us, and to grant us peace of mind and heart in an age that we need it so badly. So how do we do this? Practically, how do we do this? I'm always a big advocate of asking that question. Like, okay, I get it. I understand it now. We get the point, but what do I do with that? How do I keep the Spirit at the forefront of my mind at all times? How do I abide in Jesus at all times? How do I do that? How can I have him continue to abide in me and me in him? What does that look like? I'll give you an example. I want you to imagine, I used to do this a lot when I did therapy. I love these examples. These are fun. I want you to imagine for a moment that you're struggling financially. I want you to imagine you are feeling the weight of financial struggle just for a moment. It's bearing on you. The weight is coming in. You don't know how you're going to make ends meet. The future is unknowable, but you wonder if it's going to come crashing down. But then you remember, I have a rich inheritance coming my way. Millions, possibly. While it doesn't come today, it comes soon. Doesn't change the present situation right in this moment. Doesn't give you anything physical, but now you have that knowledge of what's coming. What does it do to you in your mind, in your heart, in your body in that moment? What does that knowledge do? Maybe it doesn't fully eliminate all the anxiety, maybe not. But what it does do is free you in the moment to act differently than you would. Now you have actually the freedom to say, I'm going to be all right. So now you can actually live a little bit more, even generously, with the little that you have, because you know that right now is not all there is. This is, again, just an example to kind of understand what is it like almost to have the knowledge of abiding in God and Him in you, to say you have the struggles and the fears of the moment, but you have this understanding of He is with you, guiding you, present with you in the present moment, while the difficulties of the moment are still here. You have peace and heart of mind that the God of the universe, who loves you and knows you, is with you, will guide you and remind you of what He has commanded to us, His teachings to us, and is helping us to grow to be more like Him. What do you think that could do in a moment like that? I'll give you, there was a time in my own life when I needed this the most. There was a moment in my life, my entire life around me seemed to just crumble in front of me. I was literally a creature incapable of trust in this moment, because everybody I had believed I could trust had failed me devastatingly for years, believing lies and then being told in a moment those weren't the case. I was unable to trust where to go. I was drowning in fear and in loneliness, and I didn't know where to go. And honestly, church, at that moment, I wanted to die. I have no shame in talking about it in this moment. It was the worst moment and pocket of moments in my life. I remember stumbling into a therapist's office and telling the therapist that I felt like a soldier with a bullet wound standing in no man's land, waiting to be saved, waiting to see where to go, but so afraid of to take a path because I couldn't trust where to go, because I didn't know I was to make the wrong turn and fall into the hands of someone who would hurt me. So I was standing, just bleeding out, waiting for a sense of direction. I remember calling out to God at many moments in that time, saying, tell me where to go. I don't know where to go. Just give me a direction and I'll go. I'm drowning in this moment. Looking back now at that time in my life, what I needed in that moment was to know He was with me there, that I could trust Him, and that He could help me in the day, the moment, that I had peace with Him if I had just abided with Him, instead of asking for this, like, Hail Mary genie attempt at tell me what the future holds, I need to get out, when in reality I was right where I needed to be if I knew He was there with me. And that's why it was so hard. Church, we've been given a promise that we can be with Him and that He will abide in us daily, if we keep that reminder like the inheritance in our mind, knowing that it is here and it is coming, and that the present moment that we are in, if we acknowledge Him and abide in Him, the struggles with us in this moment can be fought with peace of mind and heart. And if you don't believe me and you need further proof, open up your Bibles and look in how Jesus interacted on His way to His death. Look at this, how He acts, silent in the face of unjust treatment, apologizing and caring and turning to God and saying, forgive other people for the abuse that they're spewing at me, for they don't know what they're doing. Taking beatings without revolt, watching His friends betray Him, and still He moved towards His destination, where He needed to go. It is a peace of mind and heart that I envy. If you do not believe me, open up your Bibles on your own time, read through it, and see what it is like. You have an actual visible example of what it looks like to have that peace of mind and heart that He promises each of us to be able to have if we abide in him. That's what it looks like. I highly recommend at some point this week, open up your scriptures, look in, if you look at the Gospel of John or in Luke, look at how he responds in those moments and see that and know that that was gifted to you as a promise from the Lord Most High, the way, the truth, and the life's promise to be able to walk in the way that he did. I want to invite the worship team to come up. If you are here and this promise sounds desirable to you, it is open to you if you just accept him and promise to know him. That's the goal. There's no quiz. There's no list of rules you have to follow. There's just knowing who it is. Because once you know, once you look for him, the scriptures say the world does not recognize him because they aren't looking for him. So the way to find him is to look for him. And he says, seek me and you will find me. A promise to each one of us. For those who follow Jesus that are here, the ones that have made this commitment, continue in this. Do not miss the point. It's him. Know him, abide in him, and this is what will be given to you. And you will be able to face life with the light of Christ to be able to do good works among men and give glory to the Father in heaven if you abide in him. If you desire to follow Jesus, come and follow him with us as we are trying to follow him each and every day and abide in him each and every day. So I'd love to pray for us, and I would love to have another song of worship just to give him the glory for such an honor and for such a great and generous promise that he's given us. So if you would, pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to give us this gift. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be able to peer into the library of Scripture, which is something that not everybody in this world has, that we be able to see this and read this and be informed to know that we have this great inheritance and gift of your Spirit available to us if we simply seek you and attempt to find you, and that you will know us and give us peace and remind us the things you've commanded to us and taught us. Lord, thank you for your Spirit. We ask, Spirit, to fill us up and to teach us and to guide us and to remain in us as we leave here, as we are setting our hearts and our compasses on you, our direction, that way we can follow the way of Jesus as we move into this week and into the rest of our lives. We thank you, Lord. In your name we pray, amen.